It's Bob Simpson on Phoenix FM on a very special day today, Time to Talk Day. Now, on Time to Talk Day, we're asking people to get talking about mental health. Wherever you are, your conversation matters. Each year, one in four of us experiences a mental health problem, yet too many of us are made to feel isolated, ashamed, and worthless. Time to Talk Day is a chance for everyone to open up and talk about mental health, to talk, to listen, and to change lives. And that's exactly what we're doing all day today here on Phoenix FM. And I'm delighted to say that with me now is Lorraine Bond from Home Instead and Ted Butt, who is an award-winning volunteer from the Alzheimer's Society. Good afternoon, both.
Good afternoon. Good afternoon.
Lovely to meet you, and thank you so much for coming in. Just going to do a little introduction, really, about Alzheimer's disease. It's the most common cause of dementia. The word dementia describes a set of symptoms that they can include memory loss and difficulties with thinking, problem solving or language. These symptoms occur when the brain is damaged by certain diseases, including Alzheimer's disease. Now, this is the bit that really surprised me. There are more than 500,000 people in the UK with Alzheimer's disease. I wasn't aware that that was the scale of it, and I suppose really we should come to you, Ted, first of all. You are a volunteer with the Alzheimer's Society. Should I be surprised?
You should be surprised, because it's something that isn't spoken about very often.
Right.
Alzheimer's. Well, yes, it's kept quiet. Like 20 years ago, cancer was kept quiet.
Okay. Is it people don't like to talk about it, don't like to think about it, I suppose?
It comes as a bit of a shock, and then they think, oh, dear.
Right.
And sometimes they like to keep it to themselves.
Yeah.
And won't even admit that they've... won't even admit that they're cared for,
right?
And won't allow their spouse or their partner to be a carer.
Really?
Won't admit that.
Really?
Yes.
Now, as far as your own experience is concerned, how did you get involved with the Alzheimer's Society?
Well, because my wife started getting a little bit confused. Was it loss of short-term memory or confusion? That was way back in January 2006.
Right.
Then, with one thing and another, I wrote to the GP, made an appointment, had an assessment, then went to a further assessment. Ah, I think we've got a problem.
Okay. And so what led on from that then? Were there sort of various tests that could be done?
Test is an all-embracing word, but usually it's a question of asking a number of questions.
Right.
And with our 6 monthly consultations, there was the standard 30 questions.
Really? Okay.
Yes, like spell world.
Okay.
And recite the alphabet.
So it was like an assessment, an ongoing assessment.
An ongoing assessment.
Yeah.
And then if your score was above 20, you weren't considered bad enough to merit medication.
Right, okay.
As a cost factor.
Okay. Now, so you're a volunteer with the Alzheimer's Society. What sort of role do you perform within that? What do you do for them?
Well, I'm in a support mode.
Yeah.
I started that in 2011 as a volunteer with a group with Tenpin Bowling.
Really?
In fact, I was Tenpin Bowling yesterday with a group, and that is with carers and cared for. And we have a whale of a time bowling and have a laugh and yes, various abilities.
Right.
But that then led on to what was called a men's motivation group, where that was for men who played pool. Well, our version of pool.
Yeah.
Everybody sits down, you take it in turns. If you pot a ball, you get another go.
Okay, lovely. Yeah, that sounds fun, yeah.
Yes, and that goes on for 2 hours, and there can be up to 10 or 12 men playing pool on a rotation basis.
Sure,
yes.
Yeah. Now, a diagnosis of dementia is obviously a big shock, but there is life after the diagnosis, isn't there? And that's really, I guess, what the Dementia Society is all about, yeah? Or, sorry, the Alzheimer's Society. Improving the quality of people's lives with the diagnosis, would you say that's right?
Yes, and improving the way it is met. And the support that is given, and it's not the end of the world.
Right.
And it can last. I mean, in my case, my wife had 10 years.
Right, okay, yeah.
But the problem, that's the wrong word, I know, but the problem with mental health is the same as with children. They don't come with an instruction manual.
Absolutely.
And it's a very steep learning curve.
Absolutely. And it can be frightening when you don't know what you're dealing with initially.
You don't know what you're dealing with. And it's very difficult. It's still taken me a long time to understand the understanding of the people with dementia.
Okay, yeah, I get what you're saying.
The brain isn't functioning as we expect them to or as we are used to.
Yeah, sure. All right, Ted, thank you. We'll come back to you in a minute. Feel free to chip in, but we'll turn to Lorraine for a moment. Now, Lorraine, you're from Home Instead, and as I said before, a well-established and highly respected independent UK hair... I did this in the other room. I'm trying to call you a hair comb provider, and it's a care home, not even a care home provider, it is home care. Let's be clear about this, because you care for people in their own homes, don't you? Tell us a little bit about Home Instead.
Yeah, that's right. Obviously, Home Instead Senior Care, we support people to live independently in their own home. So obviously, we of all ages, you know, we can take people out on local appointments, and we can take them to local social groups. So as we've just mentioned, you know, men motivation groups in the area, we can take people out, and obviously run light errands in the home as well as the dementia and personal care side as well. So we have a range of services that we provide to the local community.
Yeah, and you set yourself apart from normal sort of care providers in that you I mean, for example, you were telling me in the other studio that your appointments are a minimum of 1 hour.
That's right.
Whereas a lot of care providers, some of them, they restrict it down to 15 minutes, but you take the extra time with the people you're caring for, and it's more than just sort of the physical care stuff, isn't it? Tell us what you do.
That's
really
correct. Yeah, as you've mentioned, obviously it's a minimum of an hour call, so we match the caregiver very well to our clients. So we obviously, before we take a client forward, we obviously get a background around the client, as well as obviously interests and hobbies from our caregivers, and we do the matching very well. We are very unique in that way. In some areas, in our rural villages as well, we have a minimum of 2 hours.
Wow, yeah.
So obviously 2 hours, you do get to spend that quality time with your client, and it just builds that relationship a lot quicker as well.
Yeah, I mean, I imagine it can be very difficult for your carers to deal with some of the people they're caring for if they are suffering from dementia, although I expect they're very experienced and they know what they're doing. But, you know, without being specific about any individual, obviously, do you sort of have particular problems that you find difficult to deal with?
Well, just a little bit of background, obviously, about the training that we provide as well. Obviously, from the start, whenever caregiver comes on board, we provide a full on induction training program for them, and they also complete the City and Guilds dementia and Alzheimer's course. So obviously they are very well, you know, inducted into Home Instead, and they understand obviously about the culture and the services we provide. So in terms of challenging behaviour, you know, they are very well trained up in that way. And also we have an on-call system going, so they can always call for support as well if they need it. We are very close. The office is in obviously close vicinity to all our clients as well. So if they pick up the phone, we can get to them as soon as possible. So we've got a very close support network as well.
Right, and do your carers sort of monitor the condition of the people you're caring for? Or do they ever have to sort of call in outside expertise to help?
We are non-medical, so obviously we have very close relationships with obviously district nurses and local hospitals and GPs. So obviously, as I say, as we are non-medical, obviously we do have a lot of visitors coming in and out to clients as well. So we all work together, as a network to support each other and give advice and that way and support.
Well, it sounds wonderful, and it's fun as well, isn't it? You do a lot of stuff in the community, don't you, I think?
Yeah, definitely. Obviously, that's the idea of obviously coming along today, is to give you an overview of what we do out in the community. So obviously, as well as the Alzheimer's Society, Home Instead are a member of the Dementia Action Alliance in Havering and Essex, and obviously today, actually, going ahead is the Forget Me Not Cafe, which has just recently been opened in Billericay. It's at Transry Way Day Centre. and it's very similar to the men's motivation group and the other groups that the Alzheimer's Society run, but we're supporting a new memory cafe that's just launched there.
Right.
So we're encouraging, you know, local people that maybe want to come along if they have any memory concerns, or bring a loved one, you know, to join in with the crafts and activities there. And we also do support a Brentwood tea dance as well, which is very well established now. We have over 40 visitors that come every month. It's the first Tuesday of the month, and it's at the Nightingale Centre in Brentwood.
Okay, lovely. Okay, well, thanks for now, Lorraine. We'll go back to Ted. I'm going to read something here I've got, and maybe you can tell me who I'm talking about, all right? This person is passionate about helping people affected by dementia and is extremely active in his community. He has various volunteer roles for the Alzheimer's Society, enthusiastically engages in several groups, and is a great asset for the charity. Drawing from personal experiences, he uses every opportunity to support and relate to people with dementia and carers, commanding respect and bringing people together. Who's that then?
Well, I didn't write it.
But that is you, isn't it?
It is, yes.
I'm reading from a leaflet that lists the finalists in a, well, I won't call it a competition, but sort of nominations for an award that you actually won, didn't you?
I did,
yes. Can you please tell us all about that and how it happened and what your experience was?
Yes. This is where it becomes tissue time. Not for me, but for anybody else. Okay. Because you can't make this up. I promise you, you can't make it up. As we said earlier, I've been a volunteer with the Alzheimer's Society since 2011.
Yeah.
And I just do it.
Yeah.
And earlier last year, my care coordinator, group coordinator said, "Have you heard from the Society?" No. Didn't think any more of it. Okay. Sadly, my wife died on March the 7th.
Okay.
Last year.
Right.
On March the 9th, getting home from registering the death, there on the mat was a letter from the Alzheimer's Society.
Right.
And it said, "Dear Ted, I'm pleased to say that you've been nominated as a finalist in the Alzheimer's Award."
Isn't it strange how these things happen?
Yes, and the event will take place on April the 7th at St James's Palace.
Right. Wow.
Ow.
Yeah.
So we've got a funeral to arrange, which was on Maundy Thursday, just before April, and then April the 7th off to the palace.
Wow. So what was the experience at the palace like?
The experience, well, obviously I wasn't the only one. Right. Let me put it this way. There were six categories.
Yeah.
And the category that I was nominated for was bringing people together.
Right.
And three finalists, as you see on the leaflet. Richard Madeley was the host.
Okay.
Fine. And he read out, and I was, where I was sitting, I looked, I thought, well, just in case, how do I get to the presentation point?
Yep.
All right. And then I sat back. Richard Madeley said, "And now we come to blah, 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 and the three finalists are," and he read them out. And I must have gone to sleep because something was said and my name was mentioned again. Oh. All right, stand up, button your coat, walk down the middle of the room, and as I walked down, I just managed to hold it because I thought of my wife.
Of course, yeah.
I turned left, up to the dais, met Her Royal Highness. She was very gracious. "Hello, and where have you come from?"
This was Princess Alexandra, wasn't
Princess
it?
Princess Alexandra, yeah. Yes, who is patron of the Society.
Okay, yeah.
Incidentally, she lives at St James's Palace.
Oh, right, yeah.
So, there's no travelling time for her. But no, it was very moving.
Yeah.
And posed for photographs, award given, another photograph, yes. And back to the table. After tea, and I've never seen cake so small, but it was very nice, Her Royal Highness circulated the room again. And more photographs. What a day.
I imagine, yeah.
Yes.
So are you allowed to tell us what Princess Alexandra said to you when she was handing over the award?
Well, as I say, she just said, and where have you come from? But it was after, during the circulation, I was talking to her. And I said that we got to 58 years marriage, and she said, "Oh, we managed 47."
Right.
And I thought that was very, very kind, very understanding.
Yeah.
Also in the room was two ambassadors for the Alzheimer's Society, one Laurie McMenemy.
Really?
Yes. Okay. And another, Vicky McClure.
Right.
Of Line of Duty.
Okay, yeah.
And I thought, I've got to speak to Vicky McClure. And I did. And I said, "Hello, Vicky, blah, blah, blah. Enjoy the programme and join Happy Valley as well." "Yes, I do too." I said, "May I have your autograph?"
Right.
"Yes," she said. Right. "What's your name?" She signed the back of the programme. And then I'm standing there talking to an actress, and she gave me a hug.
Ah, very nice.
Icing on the cake.
Very nice indeed.
Yeah, oh,
what, so that, what a that great
was,
experience.
That was a great experience. Yeah. And therefore, as I've said, I have done presentations for SEPT.
Right, okay.
And the Alzheimer's Society, and my last paragraph is that I have dedicated my award to my wife.
Yeah.
And the legacy of her passing is one of strength to continue in my support of carers and cared for.
Yeah, well, good for you, good for you. What great work. You're a volunteer tutor, aren't you? What do you actually sort of teach people on the
That's
courses?
A carer's course.
Right.
Developed in-house by SEPT for carers.
Right, okay.
It's a six-week course, one day a week, 3 hours at a time. Mm. And we take people through various ideas and strategies because when you're a carer, you do it's a change of role. I'm looking after my spouse or partner, yes. A little bit extra, a little bit more, a little bit more, a little bit more. And in the end, you're running around like the proverbial, and there's no rest.
Mm.
Sometimes there's no rest even, well, I haven't got time to come on the course. However, those who do go on the course have benefited enormously.
Right.
We do indicate ways to change their lifestyle a bit,
okay,
to give themselves a little more time for themselves, not to be better carers, but to be better able to care.
Yeah, to care for themselves as well.
To care for themselves.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah.
Because one example is, and I've only experienced this once, but it was a long time ago. You're on an aeroplane. There's one oxygen mask and you've got a young child with you. Who do you give the oxygen mask to? Instinct says you give it to the child. No, you give it to yourself. Because what happens to you if you pass out?
Yeah.
And that's the same for carers. Carers must look after themselves. Carers are the most important people on earth.
Yes, absolutely.
And just to give, as you mentioned earlier, the number of carers, just to give an indication of what carers do, I don't know how they worked it out, but the cost to the country that carers are saving is £132 billion a year.
Yeah, I can well imagine, yeah.
So if we stop caring, well, collapse.
Yeah. Okay, well, I'm a bit overwhelmed, really, full of admiration for you. You're not a young man. I won't publish how old you are unless you really want to yourself, but you're just absolutely amazing. Go on, tell us how old you are.
Well, let me put it to you this way. My wife went into hospital from one care home. She went into care, and from there she went into hospital and was then into the Brentwood Community Hospital for a period of recovery.
Yeah.
And while she was being admitted, I was in the day room with a resident, and he said to me, "Are you here for your mother?" I won't say exactly what I thought, but you can understand, I was taken aback.
Yeah.
My wife then moved to a health, continuing health care, so she went into a nursing care home. And again somebody said, "Oh, you're here for your mother." Little did she know I was older than her.
Yeah.
And I must admit, yes, I do take care of myself.
Good.
a bit vain in that respect.
No, no, no.
And I do surprise people and they say, you don't look 86.
Well, I think you're absolutely amazing and some great work. Now, let's just imagine for a moment there are people out there listening who may have had a recent diagnosis and they don't know where to turn to for help. Where's the best place to go?
That's something we do on the carers course, where to go for information.
Yeah.
Doctors, surgeries, libraries,
yeah,
etc. If it's mental health and dementia, Alzheimer's Society.
Okay.
First port of call.
Yeah.
They're there. They are very supportive.
Right.
And they will listen and listen and listen.
Yeah. And you've obviously got a local organisation in this area set up.
The head office is the local head office is at Laindon.
Okay.
And that covers Basildon and Brentwood, yes.
Yeah.
And Castle Point as well.
Okay. Brilliant. Well, and back to you for a moment, Lorraine. Maybe you could give us some contact details for Home Instead and maybe just quickly run across what you do again.
Yeah, certainly. And obviously, just a follow on really from Ted as well. Mm. Obviously, you mentioned about obviously looking after yourself as a carer, for a loved one.
Yeah.
And obviously, we do offer a respite service as well. So we can go in and offer that service. So, the carer can go out and obviously have their own social groups that they would like to go to, or even just to go to get their hair done, or to
fantastic.
Go and meet their friends at the
essential.
Local pub. So it gives that opportunity as well. We can go out and do that type of service. So as I say, as an overview, we do lots. So obviously, if you are interested, we offer free consultation, so we can come round, and have an initial chat with you to find out what you are looking for. And then we will come away and draw up a care plan for you.
Yeah.
So obviously, if you would like to get in touch with us, obviously, we'll give you the details as well. But our office is based in Brentwood, so it's the 01277 822 858 number.
Lovely.
And obviously, just a little bit of background about myself. Obviously, I started as a caregiver and sort of progressed now into the recruitment side.
Right.
So I'm looking for quality and obviously caring and compassionate people that may they've got a little bit of extra time on their hands that would like to help us.
Okay.
So if there is anybody out there that would like to get in touch, with the companionship side, that they're looking to help a local person or a neighbour.
Yeah.
You never know, it could be somebody quite close down your road that we have a client. Obviously, then please do get in touch with us, because we are looking for people that can help us.
And on the same number, is that? Would you like to give us it again? Yeah.
Yep, so it's 01277 822 858.
Yeah, and very rewarding as well, I would think. It's not the normal sort of caregiving job, is it? It's there's a bit more to it.
That's right. Yeah, it's all about obviously the rewarding side, like you say. Obviously, we do take people out on companionship and spend that quality time with somebody, and you really get to know. It's not the case of just rushing in and doing a half an hour call and then going on to the next person. We spend that time and sometimes up to 3 or 4 hours with the person as well, and they treat us more as a neighbour, a friend going in. We haven't got the traditional nursing uniforms that we wear. We just go in like normal people and we're there to help and support.
Wonderful.
And provide that independence.
Absolutely great. Well, have I covered everything?
I can concur with everything that's been said, because we were clients.
Okay, and your experience of the care was...
Yes, and it's fantastic. Yeah. They turn up on time.
Yeah.
As soon as they arrive, they phone in, they log in to see they're there, and they're there for an hour.
Fantastic.
Yes,
excellent.
And I had very good service. In fact, it wasn't quite explained to me, but I could understand what happened. On the first assessment we had, I had to give the office a tour of the house.
Right.
Where's the electricity switch? Where's the stopcock?
Yeah.
They've got to know as much about the house as us as residents.
Right. Very thorough then. Yeah.
Which enabled, it didn't happen to me, but it enabled us, if you wanted to go out.
Yeah, yeah.
And therefore, they're in loco parentis, for want of a better word.
Absolutely brilliant.
So, and you get a big manual, very professional.
Mm. Fantastic. Well, what can I say? Thank you very much indeed. I'm in admiration of both of you for the work you do, and thanks very much for coming in today on Time to Talk Day. It's Lorraine Bond and Ted... Hang on.
But.
Do you know what? I wrote on here T-Dance above your name, and I've confused the two. I was going to call you T-Dance, and there you go. So I do apologise, Ted.
I've been called many things, but never that. But I'm broad-minded.
My apologies. It's Ted Butt and Lorraine Bond. Thank you very much once again. Cheers.